Hello, and you're welcome to another edition of The Others, the Alan Kinsella podcast, where I look at small parties, groups, and independents that have contested Irish elections over the years. This week is the turn of the Immigration Control Platform, whose name, I suppose, explains itself. They first contested, well, they contested as an independent immigration control candidate in 1997. And were contesting elections up until 2009. Although they still exist, they are not involved in electoral politics. Thanks to everybody who subscribed to the podcast. If you haven't done, please do. And leave reviews and all that kind of carry on. Thanks to those that have supported the Patreon. It's patreon.com/electionlit. If you want to support the podcast and indeed the website by doing that. If you want to contact me, I'm at electionlit on Twitter, Irish Political Ephemera on Facebook, IrishElectionLiterature@gmail.com, and IrishElectionLiterature.com is the website. Thanks. But by the 90s, especially the late 90s, after 95 or so, Ireland, you know, the economy was recovering. Immigration had kind of slowed down, and in fact, there was immigration from people all over the world. So Ireland was becoming a lot more multicultural. And a reaction to that came with the 1997 candidature of Éanúy Connell, who ran in Cork South West on an immigration control platform. Now, the group hadn't been formed yet, but she was calling for immigration control in her campaign. Éanúy Connell, who lives in Roscarbery and teaches in Clonakilty, is standing in Cork South West on an immigration control platform ticket. She values, she said, the levels of essential homogeneity we have had in Ireland and is very unhappy with the way Ireland has become a focus for immigration. Two aspects of this concern her. Firstly, immigration from EU countries, largely not surprising, from Britain and Germany. Many people in those countries are turning their back on overcrowded cities and on the urban industrial world of the late 20th century. They have discovered utopia here in Ireland, and a major flow of immigration has been taking place for a while now. And crucially, Éanúy says, is set to be a continuing process unless we address it. The previous situation where the flow was to Britain was a case of a small pond leaking towards a large one. Now, with the flow the other way, it is a case of a large pool threatening to swamp the little one. Germany, with an even larger population, is hot on the heels of British in pursuit of this utopia. Éanúy would claim that no one ever thought or was encouraged to think when we joined the European community that you were signing up to a situation where 370 million people as EU citizens have a right, not quite unqualified but near enough, and tending in that direction to live in Ireland. She has no time for political correctness and points out dryly that it is politically correct to bemoan the way Indonesia has sent its population into East Timor to effectively undermine its separate existence, similarly with China and Tibet. It's okay, she says, to decry that process, but it's politically incorrect to decry such a process in our own country. Why should this be so, she asks. It is well known that there's deep resentment of non-nationals coming in and going onto our social welfare and receiving benefits. Many people bit back any comment on the mistaken assumption that nothing can be done about it. But again, our authorities have never let people know that under EU law we need only allow people who have come from other EU countries to look for work to stay 6 months. We can ask them to leave after that. Our outgoing TDs should be asked why this is not being implemented. The long-suffering constituents of Cork South West are entitled to an answer on this, she states. It is numbers, however, that interest Éanúy, so the well-heeled are as much a target of her dissatisfaction. Non-nationals have driven up property prices in a way which makes it more and more difficult for young locals to settle in their own areas. She would like to see restrictions brought in on the sale of land and property to non-nationals. Back in the 50s, the talk of the disappearing of Irish because we were leaving. Now there is danger of the disappearing Irish because we are on the way to becoming a merely one and not necessarily the biggest one of the groups which populate this country, she says. The other aspect of immigration which she is worried about is the enormous increase in asylum seekers. Romanians, Zairians, Cubans, Somalis, Algerians, etc. This, we are told, is likely to continue to increase. The dogs in the road can tell you, she says, that most of them here are really economic migrants. We should immediately, she says, put Romania on a whitelist, as other countries have done. This effectively means you just do not let them in. The second urgent requirement is to amend the Nationality and Citizenship Act, which at present gives Irish citizenship to a child born to an asylum seeker or illegal immigrant. A court ruling means that their parents cannot then be deported. Now that she is committed to the fray, there is no more serious candidates in the field, she says. She feels that the vast majority of people share her views and she wants their voice to reach the Dáil. But this was 1997, and she's kind of the first person to talk this way. Her election material: vote number one, Éireann Ní Conaill, immigration control platform. I am standing in this election on a single issue, the need to take strong and urgent measures to control immigration to Ireland. There are two strands to this issue. Strand one, immigration to Ireland, especially rural Ireland from within the EU, particularly British and German. Strand two, the influx of alleged asylum seekers, mostly bogus, from Eastern Europe, Cuba and third world countries. Really tough and radical decisions need to be taken to deal with this, and without a strong voice from you to show that this matters to you, those measures will not be taken. A multiracial Ireland is an option. It is for you to choose it or reject it. If you don't raise your voice, you won't be heard. Vote number one, Éireann Ní Conaill. So that 1997 election, she polled 293 votes running in Cork South West. The 1997 election had been held in June, and by January 1998, we read, immigration control body to be launched. A new national organisation on the immigration control platform is to be launched in Ennis on Tuesday, January the 13th at the West County Hotel at 8 p.m. The aim of the organisation is to provide a voice for those who are concerned at the increasing levels of immigration to Ireland and to lobby government to implement a tight immigration policy. Two aspects of immigration are of most concern, says organiser Éireann Ní Conaill of Roscarbery, who contested the 1997 general election in Cork South West. The first is the increasing immigration from the EU, particularly Britain and Germany, to rural Ireland. It has not really impinged on Irish consciousness that we are a country of 3.7 million people, but that every citizen of the 370 million which make up the EU, soon to be 430 million plus, has an almost unqualified right to live in Ireland without asking anyone's permission. To an increasing degree, push and pull factors are impelling many of them to do just that. In an article in the Graduate UCC Summer 1997, Pierce McHenry of the newly formed Irish Centre for Migration Studies says, Ireland may yet become a nation of emigrants. He goes on, in certain parts of rural Ireland, the numbers are surprisingly high, up to 10%, and more of the population in particular areas may consist of British and continental European immigrants. Britain has a population of 58 million, Germany 80 million, with a large influx from these two countries alone heading for a country of 3.7 million. It is no wonder Professor McHenry would say that Ireland may yet become a nation of immigrants, commented Miss Ní Conaill. The second matter of concern is the most recent influx of asylum seekers, refugees and illegal immigrants to Ireland. Signs of concern on the government's part are quickly undermined when, as recently, one hears suggestions of an amnesty for asylum seekers already in the country, she stated. All like-minded people are urged to attend the Ennis launch on Tuesday. A Dublin launch will follow some days later, Miss Ní Conaill concluded. So they're launching a national organisation called the Immigration Control Platform in Ennis. The launch didn't go as planned for the party. Launch of immigration control group degenerates into bitter shouting match. The launch of the immigration control platform degenerated into farce in Ennis last night as protesters clashed with founder Éireann O'Connell. Shortly after taking the platform at the West County Hotel to speak to over 20 supporters, Miss O'Connell was obstructed on the platform by eight members of the anti-fascist action group, chanting "Refugees in, fascists out." The meeting faced further disruption as over 40 members of the town's asylum-seeking community gathered at the back of the room carrying posters. They were supported by members of the Irish Refugee Council, Amnesty International, and members of the public, many of whom chanted "Shame on you" at the platform. Miss O'Connell pleaded with the protesters to leave the room. "This is an intimidatory action. This room was rented for the evening for like-minded people," she said. "I do not wish these people who have come here to be intimidated. Therefore, I must insist that those who came here to protest leave." Her plea fell on deaf ears and was soon drowned out by a speech from a spokesman from the anti-fascist action group, who stated that Irish people for generations have travelled the world and is base hypocrisy to condemn people who have come here to this country to seek a better life. Following a scene where the spokesman of the anti-fascist action group was seen to grapple with Miss O'Connell for a microphone, an angry exchange ensued between herself and a representative of the Irish Refugee Council, Orla Nihaly, who told Miss O'Connell, "You have abused your position by coming to Ennis to launch your organisation where you know there are vulnerable asylum seekers." After making this statement, Miss Nihaly, the asylum seekers and a number of their supporters left the room. There was stalemate between the protesters and the immigration control platform for the next hour as verbal exchanges flew. A smaller room was eventually found for the new group, where only would-be members of the ICP were allowed to enter. Before the disruption, Miss O'Connell told the gathered audience, "This is a democratic exercise. It would be a very foolish person who would not say that there is a division on the immigration issue in the country." She added, "There is not a single organisation that gives an opposite viewpoint on the issue. To say no to the possibility of an amnesty for asylum seekers. The group's very existence is acting as an agent for democracy." There was an editorial in the Examiner about the party. "Government must act against racism. Ireland for the Irish and nobody else" could well be the slogan of a new movement launched last night, based on an apparent racist philosophy. The birth of the immigration control platform is an ominous development. Opposed to the concept of a multiracial society, it proposes a policy based on the essential homogeneity of the Irish people. But paradoxically, the organisers claim no place exists in their rank for anyone with notions of racist superiority. As the people of Northern Ireland, Central Europe and the Far East know to their cost, nationalism can be a dangerous creed. It is a growing phenomenon in Europe despite the EU's fundamental principle of free movement of people and goods. As Irish people are free to move to the continent, so European nationals are equally entitled to seek work or buy property in this country. Unpalatable as it might be when Germans outbid locals for holiday homes in West Cork or Kerry, it is no justification for ethnic cleansing. But whatever discrimination erupts against groups or individuals because of race, religion, sex, disability or age, events can take a dangerous turn. Anti-immigration is just another form of racism. Extreme examples of which include the treatment of blacks in America and South Africa, gerrymandering in Northern Ireland and intestine warfare in Bosnia. The worst examples of modern times was the genocide by the Nazi government in wartime Germany when 6 million Jews were exterminated. At present, some 4,000 refugees are seeking asylum in this country, many of them genuine victims of persecution in other countries. No doubt some will turn out to be bogus and ought to be sent home. To its credit, the Catholic Church is to the forefront of resistance to the insidious spread of racism, a phenomenon which has gone largely unchallenged by government. In the last election, emotions were whipped up as refugees were painted as spongers cashing in on Ireland's newfound wealth. Despite the state's moral responsibility to uphold human rights, immigrants arriving here are regularly turned away because of the colour of their skin. It is no coincidence that Ennis has a relatively high concentration of refugees. Fearful of an outpouring of prejudice, the local bishop has reminded people of their moral responsibility as Christians. Ironically, the immigration control group may perform a public service by placing racism openly on the agenda as a matter deserving urgent debate. By maintaining silence, the political parties will be seen as tacitly supporting the movement. It is imperative that the government face up to its obligations and introduce realistic and compassionate policies to deal with this growing problem. So really, they were recognised immediately from the off as something not to be tolerated. Throughout 1998, the party was active. There was protests and so on against appearances. For instance, protesters jeered and heckled at an immigration control platform debate in Cork last night. But ICP founder Áine Ní Conall vowed to fight on in her drive to secure greater controls on Irish immigration. A dozen protesters, all members of Ireland's fledgling immigration solidarity group, jeered and heckled as the Cork school teacher attempted to address a debate in UCC. The immigration control platform also picketed the French embassy and the Alliance Française Cultural Centre, demanding tighter security at Cherbourg Port, through which a number of illegal immigrants have passed en route to Ireland. And then throughout the year, they had small ads in the papers, just ICP monthly bulletin, and it would have the number of asylum application receives and failed asylum seekers deported. So for instance, June's thing was ICP monthly bulletin, June 1998. Asylum applications received 449, failed asylum seekers deported 3, issued by the immigration control platform. Protest groups eyeball each other. Two groups of protesters eyeballed each other in drenching rain outside the ICTU in Dublin yesterday over the refugee issue. Members of the immigration control platform were protesting at a call that asylum seekers with applications not yet being processed get work permits. Noisy and numerically superior, the Anti-Fascist Action and Anti-Nazi League mounted a counter-demonstration at the Raglan Road offices to champion the rights of refugees. ICP say it aims at a very rigorous policy on asylum seekers and refugees and a determined response to all illegal immigration. Spokesperson Andrew Kiernan explained they had no problem with asylum seekers getting jobs once their applications had been processed. AFA spokesman Brian O'Reilly, who groups physically stopped the ICP launch in Ennis a year ago, said they had found it sinister that the ICP had targeted Congress. It was time the Irish people woke up to the presence of individuals inciting racial hatred. A piece on Áine Ní Conall in The Examiner in March 1999. Ní Conall articulates the subtle philosophy of exclusion. Áine Ní Conall, the West Cork teacher viewed as the exponent of a no-blacks vision of a green Ireland created by God for the Irish, declined to be interviewed. As PRO of the Irish Immigration Control Platform, she articulates the subtle philosophy of exclusion. She warns, for instance, that children are being sent in advance by people seeking asylum. There is a growing phenomenon of unaccompanied minors being sent ahead as immigrants, especially in Italy. It is quite an influx with which we could not deal with, she told the Dáil Committee. But when asked for her views in context to this article, she replied, "If you're writing about discrimination, I don't know why I should feature in it. As PRO of the Immigration Control Platform, I don't see a place for our organisation in such an article. We are a perfectly respectable organisation. Last Wednesday, we made our representations on the immigration bill as a perfectly legitimate organisation, and I see no reason why we should feature in any article on discrimination. I think I'll leave it at that," and hung up. But Philip Watt, head of the National Committee on Racism and Culturalism, said Miss McConnell's style is very subtle. She uses the language adopted by anti-immigration parties right across Europe, which says that culture should be maintained intact and shouldn't be mixed. It's a more subtle than the National Front, but amounts to the same thing in the end. Keep them out. O'Connell and McConnell, she'd actually appeared on The Late Late Show as well as Dáil Committees and stuff. So the new organisation was getting, needless to say, it was getting publicity in the media. She was on, obviously, she was on The Late Late. She was in various, you know, giving interviews to the papers. She was a prolific letter writer as well. And all regularly letters would be printed from the immigration control platform in the papers. And of course, would have been a regular guest on television and radio. The 1999 European and local elections came along, and the immigration control platform didn't stand any candidates. However, it did have a campaign against Labour's Dublin MEP candidate, Punchis de Rossa, over his support for an amnesty for asylum seekers. The organisation, which is opposed to any relaxation of Ireland's tough immigration laws, has targeted the former Democratic Left leader because of his soft asylum policy. The group yesterday expressed concern that the current opt-out on asylum and immigration held by Britain and Ireland would come under threat by the extended role the EU Parliament will have in justice affairs. The last thing we can afford is for De Rossa to be Ireland's spokesperson in the largest group in Parliament, Ms. Ní Conaill said. The ICP literature claims the Labour spokesperson on foreign affairs believes the anticipated number of asylum seekers arriving in Ireland over the next few years of 210,000 is not enough. De Rossa now wants you to send him to the European Parliament to live in luxury while he pushes a policy which would see many areas of Dublin become African and Asian ghettos, as in London, Paris and Marseille, it reads. You need De Rossa like you need a hole in the head. Ms. Ní Conaill said the group would spend approximately £1,500 distributing over 20,000 leaflets encouraging people to vote for other candidates. Last night, Mr. De Rossa described the ICP as an unrepresentative group whose only aim was to stir up racial hatred and intolerance. I am proud of my record in trying to promote human rights and a tolerant approach to asylum seekers. The attempt by the ICP to introduce race as an issue in this election is deplorable, he said. In 2001, the ICP launched a campaign to take Ireland out of the Geneva Convention on the Protection of Refugees. Ní Conaill was interviewed around the time and profiled. Áine Ní Conaill is hard-hearted and makes no apology for it. I care about my country, she says, by way of explanation. A commendable concern, especially when it comes from an intelligent, articulate and passionate woman who at the age of 50-something has seen a lot of changes in the life of her country for better for worse. But when Ms. Ní Conaill talks about the threat she perceives her country to be under, commendable turns to uncomfortable. The school teacher and former amnesty activist from County Cork believes outsiders should remain just that, on the outside. Refugees such as Kosovars and the Bosnians and Vietnamese before them would be tolerated, provided their claims of persecution were individually authenticated by the United Nations and their numbers were small. Immigrants on work visas would be acceptable, provided their skills were desperately needed and their numbers again were kept low. Asylum seekers, however, should be shown the boat and the boot before they ever get a breath of Irish air. Her policy, the backbone of the immigration control platform, is controversial and up to now has been easy to sideline as the marginal view of an extremist minority organisation. But Ms. Ní Conaill now says she's going to prove the rest of the country agrees with her. She and her organisation are to carry out a mailbox blitz asking householders to send postcards to the Minister for Justice calling on him to take Ireland out of the Geneva Convention on the Protection of Refugees. She says at last the silent majority will have a chance to make their views known. They haven't done so up to now, she says, because of ignorance and the fear of being branded racist. Racism is a word that is flung around to make people be silent, she says, and our ICP literature bears the warning. No one who holds the views of racial superiority is welcome in the organisation. But if they aren't racist, what's their motivation? It all amounts to caring for the country and protecting it against the dangers of the open door policy, she says. It doesn't matter if 10 million people turn up on your doorstep next week. Everybody who says the magic word asylum is in, and you are not going to remove them. Deportations are only a token gesture. Lax immigration policy is a disaster in other European countries such as France, Germany and Britain, all of which are deeply unhappy places, she says. Any state which persists with such a policy against the better interests of citizens is colluding with the invasion of its own country, an act which amounts to treason. Besides, the Geneva Convention was drawn up only to protect people displaced during the upheaval of the Second World War, and although it was later amended to remove the time constraint, people should consider its original intentions and be aware any signatory, like Ireland, can withdraw its consent with 12 months' notice. But while Misny Connell is strong on history, legislation and rhetoric, she is short on specifics. She quotes from a British study which predicts the indigenous population of London will be in the minority in 50 years' time, but she won't explain what's wrong with that. She clearly sees this as a personal crusade, but will not detail a single example of how an asylum seeker has impacted negatively on her life. "I'm not getting into personal experiences. This is not the Oprah Winfrey show," she says dismissively. She is also dismissive on the question of why, if other countries with traditionally high immigration levels are so unhappy, they don't impose a radical clampdown. "It's like this," she concludes. "The French are foot draggers and the Germans have bad consciences." Most notably absent from her arguments is the plight of the individual, the one person amongst the dozens of economic migrants who genuinely fears for their life. To err on the side of protection, she argues, amounts to institutional insanity. Everyone talks about the one person. They say if you were to save one life, it would be worth it. Well, there are people who are going to meet horrific deaths on the roads this year. If we really believed it was worth changing a system to save one life, we would ban all traffic tomorrow. So there you have some of the logic behind the organisation. The 2002 general election came along and the party ran two candidates, Éirne Connell, who was running in Dublin South Central rather than her native Cork South West, and also Ted Neville running in Cork South Central. Again, they got a lot of publicity. There was a lot of stuff about the rise of the Irish far right, and early on in the campaign, Nick Griffin, the leader of the British National Party, urged Irish BNP supporters to vote for the immigration control platform and offered assistance and stuff to the immigration control platform as well. So this was the calibre of people that they were being associated with. So Éirne Connell's material: do something for Dublin, for yourself, for your children's future. Put an independent voice into the Dáil on the asylum immigration issue. Over the next 10 years, Dublin is expected to grow 17% and have a 20% foreign population. Has anyone consulted you on this? Referring to Ireland's development into a multiracial society, Paul Cullen, the Irish Times, has said that we must determine the speed and extent of this process. Do you feel you have any control over the speed of it and extent of this change? Eric Byrne, Labour, said it was farcical that I should come from Cork to stand on this issue in Dublin South Central. I say it is farcical that no one could be found in Dublin to demand a voice for Dubliners in shaping the future of their city. According to the establishment politicians, you're allowed to have a say on every issue except this one. Let them know that there is no issue on which you will be denied your say. Vote number one, Éirne Connell. Through asylum immigration, the face of Dublin has changed before your eyes in only 5 years. No one has consulted you about this. The same politicians who allowed this want you to return them to the Dáil. You will get more and more of the same in the future unless you put a voice in the Dáil to demand radical change. When John O'Donoghue boasted that he expects to deport 600 people this year, there was no one in the Dáil to say, that represents 6% of the annual influx. Some boast. When the minister said he will make improvements to the system, there is no one in the Dáil to show what a waste of time this is and to insist that the system itself must be replaced. When the minister tells you his hands are tied by the international obligations, there is no one in the Dáil to nail this lie and prove that we have the legal right to withdraw from the present system and replace it with our own. Put that voice in the Dáil or put up with more of the same and more and more. Vote number one, Éirne Connell. Asylum applications to be made from outside. Severe penalties for employment of illegals. Change in citizenship law, not just residency. So the message is fairly clear. Ted Neville was running in Cork South Central. Do you feel the parties reflect your concerns on the control of immigration, abuse of the asylum and citizenship process? Immigration Control Platform believes the Irish people must have control of these issues within an EU framework. This is our right and duty as a sovereign state. The multicultural society. We are told we must adopt to this new way of living. Do you recall any of the parties promoting this as a policy at the last election? They didn't. And you didn't vote for this fundamental change, which would alter the cohesive strength of Irish society. Making policy to fit the event is bad government. The parties have run away from the legitimate issue of immigration control, and those who did voice an opinion were slapped on the wrist. Send an alternative voice to Dáil Éireann, one that will speak with you. Your voice cannot be silenced. How do we lack control at present? The Geneva Convention of 1951, which ICP and some other European states believes is outdated, requires that anyone who arrives in Ireland and claims asylum must be processed. This is time-consuming activity that currently ties up 700 civil servants and costs you, the taxpayer, $325 million last year to find that the 7% that were genuine. 400 million has been expended to date on accommodations. Kinsale Road in Cork South Central is one of the six major centres of accommodation in the state. There is minimal deportation of those found to be bogus. Effectively, once you're in, you stand an odds-on chance of staying. And this is well known to those targeting Ireland as a destination. Is there a better way? Yes, we could use some of this money to bring forward our overseas aid budget target of 1,000 million to help greater number of needy and vulnerable people in their own country or continent, and still have some for Irish projects. How do we regain control? We can decouple from Geneva, as we are entitled to do, by means of a Clause 44 declaration. We can then use our own discretion to help genuine refugees, e.g. programme refugees, Kosovans, Bosnians, UNHCR specialist persons, applications made by persons to Irish embassies or UN offices abroad. Ireland is a unique automatic citizenship. Ireland is unique in awarding citizenship on the basis of place of birth alone. ICP was first to call for this to be changed at its AGM of 1999. This can be done by legislation in harmony with Article 9 of the Constitution, or by referendum. 50% of the females claiming asylum in this country are visibly pregnant on arrival. Vote number one, Ted Neville. So this business, the automatic citizenship, was something that actually led to the citizenship referendum in 2004, where if you were claiming asylum, you, or if a child was born here, the parents automatically had a right to stay because that child was automatically an Irish citizen. And of course, at the time, there were stories of plane loads of pregnant women, and the maternity hospitals were full of pregnant women just arriving and so on. This fueled a reaction. The other thing is that the presence of the ICP allowed some on the mainstream politics to become more outspoken. And there was a number of candidates like Joe O'Callaghan and Noel O'Flynn in Cork that were seen to have overzealous language in this area. In the election, Áine Ní Conall polled 926 votes. That's 2.1% in Dublin South Central. And in Cork South Central, Ted Neville polled 372.67% of the vote. So, again, not huge votes, although 900 votes was frightening enough, but there was no major breakthrough. In those 2004 local election, the party fielded three candidates. Aidan McMahon, running for Dundalk Town Council, Aidan Area 1. Ted Neville, running in Cork City Council in the South Central area. Pat Talbot, running in Cabra and Glasnevin for a seat in Dublin City Council. Ted Neville polled 110 votes. Pat Talbot polled 300 votes. And Aidan McMahon polled 107 votes in Dundalk Number 1 area, running for the Town Council. None of the candidates were elected, but they did get a few percent, The party continued on the same vein, and in 2007, Pat Talbot ran in Dublin Central, John Donnelly in Dublin North, and Ted Neville ran in Cork South Central. All the while, of course, they were on, they were platformed on radio and television and so on. In that 2007 election, Don Donnelly polled 286 votes in Dublin North. Ted Neville polled 804 votes, that's 1.4%, in Cork South Central. And Pat Talbot polled 239 votes in Dublin Central, 0.7%. So again, not huge results, but because they were contesting and running three candidates, they got, you know, as we're saying, you know, there was the news, they were given various coverage throughout the campaign, both in the papers and various media outlets. In the 2009 Dublin Central by-election, Pat Talbot ran for the party. Vote Patrick Talbot number one. For 12 years, Ireland has been subjected to mass immigration on a scale seen nowhere else in Europe. The so-called boom for which we are now paying dearly was fueled by immigration. Government policy was one of maximum growth rather than optimum growth, and that needed massive immigration. For the past 10 years, Immigration Control Platform and Patrick Talbot have been to the forefront in warning the establishment and the people of Ireland about the dangers of uncontrolled mass immigration. Who was it for? Not for you. You were never consulted, but you are paying for it and will pay more. 500 million per annum of badly needed revenue on the asylum system alone. Mass immigration and multiculturalism have been imposed without your democratic approval. No party raised an objection. The decision can still be reversed, yet no party is brave enough to do so. Those who are supposed to uphold the view of the majority have failed to do so. Amongst these are the politicians and RTE acting in the interests of big business to the detriment of Irish society and our future generations. 20% of those in the dole are now foreign nationals. This is because the government insisted on Ireland being one of only three EU countries to allow unrestricted access. No party raised an objection. This is not about boom and recession. It is about failed asylum seekers from around the world not being deported. Less than €1 million was spent on deportations in 2008. What message does this send to prospective illegal immigrants and asylum shoppers to Ireland? So-called foreign students taking jobs and the government going on missions abroad to look for even more of them. How many will stay on to work here and take work from you or someone you know? Plans for further EU expansion, including Turkey, which our government does not oppose. Do you want free access for a huge Islamic population? The government has lost control of immigration to our country. A senior government minister recently admitted that the census figures seriously underestimated the number of foreigners in Ireland. Some estimates have put foreign nationals' population at around 14%. Send them a message. Immigration policy must be based on your wishes. Facts. Unemployment is now at approximately 388,000 and could reach 600,000 by the end of the year. Yet, 30,000 new PPS numbers were issued to immigrants since the beginning of this year. 90% of all new jobs created in Ireland were taken up by foreigners. Immigrants now make up 20.2% of those in the live register. Foreigners account for almost 40% of those receiving rent supplement. In the past 6 years, close to 8,500 deportation orders have been signed, but fewer than 2,500 of those have been implemented. As a matter of priority, Patrick Talbot stands for the restoration of law and order and bringing about a halt to the endemic corruption and the gangland thuggery and antisocial behaviour that is now blighting our country. He will demand that our Garda be equipped with the necessary manpower, tools and political support in enabling them to perform their job more efficiently. Patrick Talbot believes in a fair but effective asylum system, and all asylum applications who have failed at first instance should be detained pending one final appeal, together with a robust repatriation program for those cases discovered to be unfounded. It is utterly ridiculous that while over 90% of asylum applications are usually found to be bogus, yet most are allowed to remain here regardless, frequently as guests of taxpayers, adding a further burden upon our already overcrowded schools and hospitals. There should be no ethnic ghettos or towns within towns. All foreign-born individuals convicted of criminal activities should be denied Irish citizenship and returned forthwith to their homelands. Patrick Talbot will work diligently for the people of this constituency. He was ensured that there will be a strong independent voice in Dáil Éireann for hard-working people and those who, through no fault of their own, have fallen on difficult times as a result of incompetence and corrupt practices of both government and its ineffective opposition. He will work for radical change in the way this country is governed and will ensure our sovereignty is protected. Irish people should be consulted on all major issues through referendums. Top-class education and health facilities for the citizens of Ireland. Vote number one, Pat Talbot. So you get an idea that they've kind of moved with the times, and this, of course, 2009, is the crash. In that by-election, Patrick Talbot polled 614 votes, 2% of the vote. He was the last candidate to run under the Immigration Control Platform banner. Ted Neville ran in 2011 in Cork South Central, running under a banner of the Irish Solidarity Party, where he polled 523 votes, 0.8% of the vote. Since then, the party, it's still going, although it's stopped contesting electorally. The Immigration Control Platform is still active. Why We Need You, it is their website now, Why We Need You. There are 190 organisations in Ireland advocating for immigration. We are the only organised voice for immigration control. The stronger our organisation, the stronger that voice. So as I say, they're still going as a kind of a pressure group, but failed to make the electoral impact that they had hoped to in their period as an electoral party. Thanks very much for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast if you can, leave reviews, tell people about it, share, I think, on social media would be great as well. And if you can support the Patreon, it's patreon.com/electionlit. That would be wonderful too. Thanks very much.